That works for me.
You are listening to the Punk News Podcast. We are still in our freestyle era, but as I'm sure you've seen, I am now finally uploading the deluge of backloaded material. So you're going to get a mix of old and the new, and that's how it's going to be. And we're getting caught back up. And then actually, hopefully, we'll be caught back up by the new year because my insane month, really my insane year, but my insane like 2 or 3 months is completed as of this Sunday. And as of the Sunday, I will have more free time. So we'll
That's
see. And every time
exciting.
I think I'll have more free time, I never have more free time. I thought after I've be finished the leftover crack book, I'm like, oh man, I have all this free time that I've been using for the leftover crack book, and somehow the free time is nowhere to be found, Deb. Nowhere to be found.
Oh no. You have to just like gather it. It's like herding cats. There is a way, but it's obscure.
That's true. That's true. Of course, I guess I sold more records this year than I was, which
Hey.
I want to keep doing, but I want to keep doing because it's a lot of fun and I make money and I get a lot of cool records for myself. But on the other hand, I'm like, it's so much fun, but it takes up a lot of free time, but you don't realize it takes up that much free time because it's so fun. You know what I mean? So is it
For
the best
sure.
use of my time? I don't know, Em. I don't know.
I think if it's the best use of your time, then that is free-ish time, you know? Because you're
But
not working for somebody or having fun.
is this the best use of my time, Em? Buying the Zimbabwe press of Ace of Base, The Sign, on vinyl record, the 1993 press. Is that the best use of my time, Em?
Depends. How does the Zimbabwe press differ?
It's flimsier and cheaper than the European press.
Don't buy it
Well, too late. I've already bought it, Em. It is in my possession as of now. So there we are.
Nice.
Is it worth my time, Em, to buy TV's Greatest Hits Cable Ready Volume 7 on vinyl?
I have never heard of that before. Is that like a TV guide thing?
How could you not, Em? You like my Instagram post where I talked about this exact issue. How could you like my Instagram post and not know that I did this?
Oh, that's the one with the. I got you. Okay. That's right. I am
So
refreshing
listen.
my memory.
Like honestly, like I don't know if I'm special or if this is for everyone. I've told these crazy stories about how I've gotten records I thought I would never, ever, 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 ever get. I mean, I've told the Alice Cooper story, right? And the Alice Cooper killer record.
Yes.
So
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I DJ maybe 4 times. I'm back. Sorry for the delay. I'm not going to edit it because it's the freestyle era of the Punk podcast, and we're not editing things right now. So, Em, are you there? You
Yes,
there?
I am
So,
here.
I was saying is I DJ about 6 times a year, and
Yes.
every DJ is like white guys playing nothing but deep cut jazz or deep cut soul. And I first of all, Em, is that weird? It's definitely good and it's definitely good and healthy to
Oh, for
appreciate
sure.
other cultures. But is it weird if you're white and you only play black music, or if you're only blank and you only play blank, like, is that tokenization? Is that weird?
I think it's trying to be like, oh, I am like the hippest. I have my finger on the pulse. I think it's a very like hipster thing to do. Again, 100% like appreciate other cultures and listen to the music and enjoy the music. But I think if you're like, have you heard this obscure recording of Sunrise in B flat that was recorded in 1963? You know, this one time that this one band played, and they're so obscure they don't even have a name, you know, then that's pushing her a little bit.
So what I do, I do what I call random chaos sets or combat sets, where I just play like really annoying music a lot. And so
Nice.
last time I DJed, I actually had like last time I DJed, I said I'm coming to battle the other five DJs, even though it wasn't a battle DJ set, you know.
Yeah.
And some of them actually got kind of annoying. And so, but I did end up totally rocking the house way more than they did, because I bought the ace in the sleeve and I brought the
Yes.
Stevie Nicks, because it was at like an outdoor kind of thing, and it's right near
Oh,
college, so a
cool.
lot of college students come. So I
Yeah.
bought the Stevie Nicks solo dance version of Dreams featuring Deep Dish. And let me tell you, Am,
Ooh.
if you want to just win the college crowd over, you just slap on that Stevie Nicks, and you've already won, you know?
Oh,
So, I mean,
yeah.
but I also played like Lotion's Cybernetic Super Lover. I played
Nice.
Choking Victim. I play Crack Rock Steady. I played a bunch of totally different stuff. I played
Yeah.
Sublime. All the college kids love Sublime right now, which I think is great. I love Sublime. So I was totally rocking the crowd. But the guy before me was playing like deep cut jazz or something. So I wanted to open with the Full House theme song, but
Oh
that's
my
only on vinyl.
gosh.
I'll get to that in a second, but I didn't have that on vinyl. So instead I opened
Yeah.
with what was it? What was it? Oh, crap, what was it? Oh, Family Ties. You know the show Family Ties, Em?
I know of it vaguely.
So it was an old sitcom from the 80s with Michael J. Fox, and it's got like one of the theme songs, like "I'll Be There for You." So I like opened with the Family Ties theme song, like the cheesiest of the 80s sitcom. And someone was
Oh.
like, "Is that Family Ties?" I'm like, "Yes, it is." And then I just went into this whacked out set. But what I really wanted to open with was either Blossom, the Blossom theme song.
I do, yes.
Yeah, so I wanted to open with "Don't Know About the Future." That's anybody's game, or I wanted to open with Full House. But
Yeah.
those songs are only on vinyl in one place in the entire world. And
Oh, it's
that
the
is
TV's greatest hits on cable.
TV's Greatest Hits from Volume 7, which came out in like 1998. And first of all, if you want it on CD, you can get it for literally a penny. But if you want it on
Nice.
vinyl, it's like a $300 record, because
Ooh.
it's this super obscure thing that no one wants except for weirdos like me, you know? And so
Yeah.
I really wanted to, and so I had the exact same thing happen, which I've had happen before. For about a month, I'm like thinking about this record in the back of my mind. Not, I hope I get it, I hope I get it, I hope I get it, but rather like, man, isn't this record weird? Isn't it weird they put out a vinyl of TV theme songs in the 90s? Like, who's buying that on vinyl in the 90s? I'm like, that's so weird. That's so weird. And then last Friday in the morning, I woke up and just thought about it. And I thought, wow, I'll never get that record. What a weird record that is. I wonder how many tracks are on each side, because theme songs are like 30 seconds long. And then I
Yeah.
stopped thinking about it. And then I did work that day. And then I was actually up near Princeton, and I went to Princeton Record Exchange. And I walk right on in, and I'm just flipping through their quote rare section. And what is sitting right there in the rare
Oh,
section?
yes, it's volume
TV theme shows,
seven.
by, and guess how much they want it for, Em?
$25.
30 bucks. I'm like, what?
Nice.
It was so
Nice.
freaky, Em. Like, I was thinking about it this morning, this
Yeah.
impossible to find. Like if you want to buy it, you can't, because no one has it. Like it has sold for $300 online, but if you want to buy it, you can't just like you can't. No one's selling. And I thought about it that morning, and it was right there, Em. It was right there. How freaky is that?
You manifested it.
I did. I
That's
honestly
so
believe I did.
cool.
Like, I did with like that weird Alice Cooper record that I have, and
Oh,
what's her
yeah.
name? Electric Slide. What's her name? One of the i3s. Marcia Griffiths. Like
Ah,
it
right.
just or Morning Glory Suicide single CD. Or Chimp Eats Banana, Chumbawamba before they were Chumbawamba, the demo tape. It's like you. No one can get that, and it was just there, Em. It was there. It was insane. Record, like I should be. I've got so many records, Em. I should be bored of it, but I'm not, Em. I'm not bored with record collecting. I freaking love it. It's great.
That's awesome.
So
With
next,
every record, you get stronger.
so like Highlander, indeed. So M, next time I DJ, should I open with Blossom? Should I open with Full House? Or should I open with Urkel?
I think you should open with Full House. I think you should stick to the original plan.
I think so too, because like that,
Yeah.
like the song itself isn't that great, but it's very recognized. What was it? Everywhere you look, like it'll just totally catch people off guard. Fun fact, and like
Yes.
pretty much every, and with the actual show about punk rock, pretty
This is
much
punk rock.
every, you pretty, indeed, indeed. This is upsetting and annoying people is definitely punk rock. I agree. But like Full House, Family Ties, Urkel, what's Family Matters, Full House,
Oh yeah.
Family Ties, like all those theme songs were written by the same guy. It's like the same guy did all of them.
Oh
It's
no way.
it's crazy. So anyways, so now I do have, so I went to the counter at Print Records. I'm like, I've been looking for this record for years, for years. And I show it to it's TV theme songs. And the guy looks at me, he's like, great. So they really didn't care, but I don't care, man. I now have TV Kelvin's greatest hits. And I will say, I listened to the
Yes.
whole record all the way through. It's surprisingly enjoyable to listen to. Like those, even
Oh.
though those songs are cheesy, like because they're TV opening songs, like they're perfectly crafted for 30 seconds. And I will add though that the most recognizable ones, like Full House, like Family Matters, they really are the best ones. Like the other ones aren't as good. You know what I mean? And that's maybe that's why the show was so successful, because they had such a great theme song.
It
So,
gets caught in your head, yeah. What's the worst one on there? Now I'm
let me take
curious. I want to know.
let me take a look. Some of them, actually, I some like some of them are just like this one called The Single Guy, which
The single guy?
I vaguely remember that show. I think it was a show from the 90s. And it's like sound like Frank Sinatra, but it's just like really annoying. But like it's supposed to be funny, but it's not funny. Let's see here. Give me a sec. I
Sure,
will tell you the
sure.
worst one. Give me a second here. And then we will
Okay.
really start. Here we go. TV's greatest hits, cable ready.
Wow,
Here we go.
this show sounds terrible.
Let's see here. I mean, the Barney song is really annoying, but it's so annoying it goes back to being useful. You know what I mean? Like so like
Yeah.
like if you play that at a DJ night, that'll like upset people, where
Be
whereas
so
like
funny.
I gotta say, even though we shouldn't talk about the
Oh
Cosby
no.
Show theme song by Bobby McFerrin, still great. You know what I mean? Do you know that song? It's
I do
like
not. No.
do 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 do. Well, that's how it goes. Oh, here's
Oh
what's interesting. Home Improvement is
yeah.
you could easily. I mean, I can't stand Tim Allen. It's like Tim Allen's a creep. But like, you could actually slip the Home Improvement song into Industrial Night, and I think no one
Oh
would know,
yeah.
because there's like drills and buzz saws and stuff like throughout the song. So I think the
Yeah.
worst is The Single Guy. There's one called Davis Rules. Like they're just not that memorable. You know what I mean? So they're like
Sure.
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, The Nanny's good. The Nanny's a good one.
Oh, nice.
So anyways, so that's that. Oh man, Unsolved Mysteries, 21 Jump Street, In the Heat of the Night, Tales from the Crypt, M, Quantum Leap.
Yes, Tales from the Crypt.
It's awesome. It's freaking awesome.
Hell
Anyways,
yeah.
you can buy the CD for like a cent, literally, if you want to. But you can't buy the record, people, because I've got it, and I got it at Prison Record Exchange. Anyway, it's got the first track is The Simpsons, which is kind of cool.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good opening song.
And people younger than me like love Pete and Pete. And did you watch Pete and Pete?
I've never heard of Pete and Pete.
Like some people like love Pete, like Pete and Pete's on there, and it's actually like a 90s, like it could be like a 90s classic, actually, kind of like Third Eye Blind or something, by the band
Okay.
Polaris. Never heard that band. Anyways, let's talk
Oh,
about punk.
interesting. Okay. Yeah,
M, Punk
punk.
Rock Bowling 2024
Yeah.
has announced its lineup for 2024, and
Exciting.
yes, the bands playing at Punk Rock Bowling 2024 are the following: Madness, who were supposed to play 2021 before COVID or right around COVID or something like that.
Yeah.
Devo, Descendants, Gogo Bordello, Billy Bragg, The Chats, Gorilla Biscuits, Quicksand, Stiff Little Fingers, Subhumans, Lagwagon, Destroy Boys,
Yeah.
Madball, Scowl, 999, English Beat, Scatolite, 7 Seconds, Bratmobile, Snooper, Cosmic Psychos, Bad Cop, Nice, The Spits, Vile, Teen Mortgage, Catbite, and a bunch of other bands. I'm going. I actually bought a blind ticket. Last year I bought a blind ticket. And like I said, the lineup was not bad, but just not exciting at all. What was it? It was like Rancid and Bad Religion or something. And what was
Yeah,
it?
Rancid was one of them. I believe Bad Religion was one, and I'm pretty sure Descendants played last year too. But don't
They
quote me
might
on
have.
that.
They usually don't do the same band twice in a row, but post COVID, they might have to like mix things up, you know? Here we go. I'm looking up right now. Punk Rock Bowling 2023. Oh, Dropkick Murphys, Rancid, and Bad Religion.
That's
So,
what it
you
was.
know.
Okay.
Ugh, you know. I mean, I would go see Rancid, but I'm not going to fly out for Rancid, you know? Dropkick Murphys, I don't care about at all. Bad Religion, I don't care about at all. At any rate, so I'm in the Punk Rock Bowling Facebook group. Are you in the Punk Rock Bowling Facebook group?
I did not know there was one. I will check that out right now.
It's actually pretty active, although honestly, you're not going to take a whole lot of useful information from it. Honestly, it's mostly people bitching or saluting punk rock bowling. Reaction was very mixed, and usually when people say mixed, they mean mediocre, but that wasn't the case this time around. People either love this lineup or they hated the lineup, and a lot of people hated it, and a fair amount of people loved it. In fact, some guy was complaining about it, and I think it's Mark Stern. And do you remember which Stern is punk rock bowling still?
I would have to look it up. I'm not sure.
I think it's Mark Stern. He actually got in the comments section and was arguing with people that it was a good lineup, which A, I don't know if that's ever a good move or not, but B, I can see from his perspective in that, like you know, the summer soiree is 1/500th the headache of punk rock bowling, you know. Maybe
Yeah.
1/100th, you know, and luckily for me, at the actual show, people have consistently been blown away. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I am. But everyone has loved the punk rock bowl. I mean, everyone has loved the summer soirees that have come to summer soirees. But there are people, you know, online saying yeah, and it's like you have no idea how much work goes into this and how much
yeah.
pressure and anxiousness and suffering goes into making this all work. You have no idea. And you're bitching because it's $12 and not 10, or you're bitching because it's not in the exact venue you want. It's like, go to hell, man. You have no idea how much work this is, you know?
For
and
sure.
so I can understand that punk rock bowling, which is 500 times the amount of thing that I do, it's like, I'm bringing madness to the United States. They haven't been here in years. Devo might be playing their last show or one of their last shows ever. And you're complaining about seeing Devo? I can understand how that would be maddening. I can understand how one might lose one's composure and flip out in the comments section and be like, you're an asshole. You know what I mean? So anyway, and my take is that I don't love every band here, but I love a lot of the bands here, and I'm super psyched to go. I'm super psyched to see Madness. I've been waiting years and years and years to see Madness, so I can't wait to see them. Devo, I did see a couple of years ago at Punk Rock Bowling. The show was amazing. Devo has been very unclear as to whether or not they actually are or are not ending. Who knows at this point? So who knows? But it might be the last time. So I'm extremely psyched to see Devo. Also, 999, Punk Legends, underrated, awesome band. Scowl, of course, I'm psyched to see. Let me see who else is playing here. Here we go. Give me 1 second here. A few other bands. And we haven't even gotten to the club acts yet, which Subhumans, freaking awesome.
Yeah,
English Beat, which is cool. Scatolites, which is cool. Bratmobile, Snooper, who are
oh
real
my
cool.
God, yeah.
Die Spits, who are cool. Vile, who's cool.
Yes.
Catbite, one of the best bands ever. The Chats. And so I actually love about half the bands here. And the beauty of a festival that has two stages is you actually probably don't want to love all the bands because that means you're going to miss some of the bands. But if you love half the bands, then the percentage is perfect. And so I'm super psyched for this. I can't wait to see who the club shows are going to be. And I will say this is not the ultimate mega smash like it was the year with the flag, with Flag, the Flag, Damned, Sloppy Seconds, Coat Hangers. And who I think Rancid was playing that year, which was cool. where like just every band was like the best band ever. It's not that mega smash, but I gotta say, like Madness and Devo alone is enough to get me there. I'm super psyched to see this. I think this is and I will say that last year I think a lot of people were critical because it was kind of boring. Here's Rancid again. Here's Dropkick Murphys. Here's Gorilla Biscuits. They were all solid bands, but no Spice. We've got
Yeah.
Spices here, like M, Madness, Spicy. You know what I mean? Scal,
Yes.
999, Scatolites, Snooper, all spicy acts. You know what I mean?
Bratmobile.
Bratmobile, Spicy. So
Yeah.
we've got our classics. We've got Stiff Little Fingers. We've got the Mighty Subhumans, who are always great.
Yes.
Go-Go Bordello, if that's your thing, not my thing, but if that's your thing, that's cool. And we've got some new Spice. So I think this is very well done, and I'm very excited for them. Very excited.
Oh, it's a great lineup. Lots of cool bands. And I like how they mix them too, where it's not just all older bands or like all younger bands. There's like
Yeah.
a good mix.
Kamelback Bone does do a good mix of getting the old and the new in there. Rebellion Festival is very cool, but it's almost all
Yeah.
old bands, you know. I guess Pooja Fest is usually new bands mostly, right?
They do a pretty good mix too. They have some bands that are newer, some bands that have been around for a while, some like bigger names. They do a really good job. They've been announcing, like, they're announcing bands throughout the month. So like they have some really cool ones so far. Like Crossdog is playing from Peterborough. They've been around for a while and they're really, really cool. They played last year, but like I wasn't able to see them just because I got my times severely mixed up. Laura Jane Grace is playing, the Ergs are playing, Jer is playing,
That's cool.
Pony, Tiny Stills, like lots of really cool folks are playing like so far. So I'm excited for Pooja.
Well, that's cool. I can't wait to see Catbite on the Las Vegas
Yeah.
stage. I don't know if they're the big stage or the small stage. It's gonna be awesome, man. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. I can't wait. I already got my. I don't have my. I actually probably should buy my plane ticket now. Because let's see, I've got my hotel ticket, and I've got my hotel ticket. I got my hotel reservations. I've got my ticket to the shows, but I don't have my plane ticket. I don't have my car reservation. You should always, like, even if you're not sure you're gonna go, you should always reserve your hotel and your car because you can always
Yeah.
cancel for free up to like 2 days ahead of time, and the price only goes up. So I should just do it right now. Plane ticket, I should see. Plane ticket is trickier. Plane tickets go up and down, you know. So you kind of want to get at the right time, you know. Another thing, one last thing is people like. You should never get like the mega deals for the planes, where it's like insanely cheap, because your chance of that flight getting canceled is like one out of two. It really is. So
Oh, sure.
that's what happened when we tried to fly to see Danzig do all Elvis in Las Vegas and got trapped in Chicago for 2 days, which was brutal. So, anyways,
Ooh.
yeah. So I'm definitely giving this punk rock blowing two thumbs up. Super excited to see Madness. Super excited to see Devo. I guess last question, Em. Is do you think
Yeah.
Madness is going to do the set that people want, which is really just the first two albums and Our House, or are they going to do a historical Madness set where they just do like everything, including a bunch of boring songs that no one cares about?
I'm gonna say historical with a lean on the new album they just released.
Oof.
I
I
think they're
don't
gonna throw
know
in
what
some
that.
hits, but like, I think they're gonna be like, we're still a band making things.
Well, you actually good for them, and to not being an oldies act, but I just wish their newer stuff was better, you know.
Right.
So let's see here.
Maybe it'll change when you hear it live.
Oh, this is kind of neat. They've been covering Human League. That's kind of cool.
That is
They do
cool.
oof, and on the last tour they did nine songs from the new album.
Ooh, that's a
Oof.
lot.
However, they do one, two, three, four songs from One Step Beyond. And
Yeah.
they do two songs from Absolutely. And they do some cool covers. They do Madness by Prince Buster. That's like, oh, and One Step. So they actually do six songs from One Step Beyond. Hey, did you know? I didn't know this. It Must Be Love is a cover. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
By Labi Saphir. I have no idea who that person is.
I have not heard of that person either.
So, anyways, so well, oh, they do House of Fun though. That's kind of cool.
That
At
is
any rate,
cool.
they don't need to do nine songs for
Yeah,
the new album. Oh man! Well, let's hope they do a festival set and not a club set when we see them in Punk Rock Bowling. It's gonna be rad. Come on out. It's gonna
all
be very awesome. Okay. What else do we have to talk about? Oh, okay. This is the exact opposite of fun. Rodney of the
Oh,
Rock has been
God, no.
accused of sexual assault. Rodney, of course, is the mayor of Sunset Strip, and he is one of the most famous American DJs of all time. Of course, as the listeners probably know, Rodney got started in the late 60s, early 70s, and he's credited with being influential with breaking David Bowie in the United States. He was also very important in the Go-Go's career. He was important in No Doubt's career, Sublime's career. A lot of bands from the mid 70s through early 90s. He broke Oasis. He was kind of the guy that broke Oasis in America. Rodney is one of the most famous DJs of all time and broke a lot of bands at a time when radio had the ability to either make or break up bands. I don't know if radio has that power these days. If you've ever seen the excellent documentary Mayor of Sunset Strip, it details what he's like, and basically, not surprisingly, he's a very lonely guy. He lives by himself, and he almost like worships celebrity. In that, like, his biggest thing is getting people's autograph. Like, if you go to his house, he's got like all these autographs and pictures and signed like 8x10 glossies all over. And he seems like worship this idea. And it also gets kind of weird. I mean, he's like 70 at this point or something. In the documentary, he's like 60 or 65. And he's like, all I want is a nice, beautiful girl. And it's kind of weird to say that
Ugh.
at 65. You know what I mean? Like, not all I want is an intelligent woman. Like, I want a nice little beautiful girl. And it's like that's kind of weird, man.
Ew.
And like no one calls him out. He comes across as weird, although I think most people, myself included, at least from the documentary, thought he was eccentric and perhaps a little bit sad, but harmless, you know. Well, according to allegations by Jane Wheeldon of the Go-Go's, as published in Rolling Stone and five other women, he's not harmless at all. According to Jane Wheeldon, when she was 15, he took her to a back room of his Los Angeles nightclub that he had at the time and rubbed his crotch against her until he ejaculated. Nasty, very nasty. Other women have said the same thing. Kira Rosler on social media added the following. The thing about Rodney is that everyone knew girls didn't cry out because he had the power. There wasn't anyone who would be able to stop him. Even now, these accusations haven't resulted in anything but people talking about it, and they always have. No one cares but those who were victims. He's also being sued by Carrie Crome of the late era Runaways, who said very similar. Apparently, like, this was his MO. But yeah,
Ew.
man, definitely weird and creepy. And I mean, definitely weird and creepy. I definitely believe the women, especially here. It's there's nothing for Jane Wheeldon to gain from making this up. You know what I mean? So it definitely is true, you know, in my opinion. And when you get more than one woman saying it, definitely is true. He does come across as creepy. So yeah, I mean, as we've seen with Harvey Weinstein, like, this is prevalent in media. I'd like to hope things aren't as bad as it now as they were then, and I think they probably aren't, but I don't know for sure. So that's what's happening to Roddy. He's a creep, and it's one of those things in retrospect. Oh, I'm not surprised at all, actually. This all makes total sense. And more, what's your hot take on this?
Absolutely fucking disgusting. And I think that everyone who was affected should like win their lawsuits, be compensated. Like,
But how much money does he really have? You know what I mean? Like, how much money do you think he has? I don't think he has that
I
much
don't
money, to tell you the
know.
truth.
I don't know. But I think just, something because it's a terrible thing to have happened to you, and it's an absolutely terrible thing to be telling to feel like you have to be silent because the person who did it is somebody who has power, and you're fearful for how it's going to come across, and people aren't going to believe you and everything. It's a really, really tough, terrible situation. It's a complete abuse of power, and it's just gross. Like, your people, there's a special place in hell for people who just, prey on others and think that they're there for their own like personal needs kind of thing. So, it sucks. And now we have more of like a space to talk about things and to deal with things properly, and for survivors to tell their stories and to be believed, and in some cases, like with Harvey Weinstein, like have the people like be brought to justice and have to actually face up to their crimes, and everything they've done. It's just disgusting how people can get away with this for so long and continue to ruin, or at least greatly impact, negatively people's lives from a very young age. And again, that's something that you don't just shake, you know. So yeah, I do think we are moving in a better way to be able to talk about it, open the discussions. But it really sucks when you have to be so on your guard all the time and so like suspicious and so like, you know, hey, are you a good person or are you like a wolf in sheep's clothing kind of thing? So yeah, there should be a, you know, mandatory course that's just how to be a decent person that everyone has to take. And it's just, yep.
Well, I think maybe like that's your parents' job, you know what I mean? And famously, Ronnie actually like didn't have a father, and he only had a mother, but the mother like didn't care about him or something. Not that I'm making excuses for him, because I'm totally
No,
not, because
no.
he's a creep. It's just, I think that's maybe what made him be him. So yeah, man, the dude's a creep, you know? So yeah, that sucks, man. That's kind of sucks. What do you think of that wig, Em? What do you think of that wig he's got on?
Very flammable.
And if someone is wearing a totally whacked out wig that is clearly a wig, is that person always a weirdo or a creep?
I think in some cases, but not all. I think some people just want to add that little extra flair and don't know how to put on a wig properly.
How about Phil Spector? What do you think of him and his wig?
Oh God, he's tan. Oh. In that case, the wig is an indicator.
I
Yeah.
gotta say, in general, anyone with a wacky wig or a wacky hat, red flag for sure.
Oh,
If
yeah,
someone wearing a
wacky
wacky hat,
hats.
you know, the wacky hat is always a prime indicator, you know. So
Oh,
anyways,
yeah.
I mean, I don't really have any genius insight here. Rodney is a creep, it looks like, and well, I hope the people that he's and her get properly I guess properly compensated and healed as much as they can.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess not to try. Is it shocking that this went on? Not that it went on. I don't know how long it went on for, but is it shocking that it hasn't come out till now? You would have thought this would come out earlier than this, wouldn't you? I mean, because I can understand it not coming out in the 70s and 80s when he was like the main man, but why didn't it come out in like the 2000s? I guess you could say it's just systematic of that people that have been sexually assaulted, the system, even post Harvey Weinstein, the system still isn't adequate, or
Yeah.
society is inadequate to help out sexual assault victims
Oh, at
when
all.
things like this happen. You know what I mean? So I guess
Yeah.
that's it. You think that's it? You think that's why it took that, you know?
I think so. The support systems need to be so much better. And it's also one of those situations, too, where if you come out with allegations against somebody who is even, you know, is or was famous and still carries that, like the benefits that come with that, people are going to attack you, and you're going to like there's a lot of bad things that can come out of it. And if you can't get somewhere that's safe, or you don't have people around you that can help you out, or again, like the system fails you completely, then it's a matter of if I speak up about this while this person is still alive, I could be in a worse position than I am. And that's a really, again, terrible, terrible, terrible thing. I think there needs to be way more supports, and it needs to be dealt with a lot better. Again, it's one of those situations where you see just such gross mishandling of just very, very sensitive and hard things, because to like talk about it, no matter how much time has passed, like you're reliving it, you're ripping open that wound. And then to do that and have the system fail you and have people not believe you and have people try to come after you, like that's not how things should be at all.
One other thing that like really does kind of underscore that he is a total creep. It's like this dude was the most famous DJ in the 70s. And in the 70s, being like a famous DJ, like it was like being a rock star. Like you could have like almost any girl you want. So what does it say that he couldn't get girls despite being like the most famous, like consensually, despite being like the most famous DJ? Like that just shows that he's a real weirdo, right?
I think there's might be a little bit more to that.
What do you mean?
How old? Well, if you're, I think there might be an age thing. I don't think it's an he's attracted to people.
Like what I'm saying, like let's use Mick Jagger's and rock stars in the world.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. What's that name? I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
I just said okay. You cut out.
Oh,
you're back.
I'm Anthony Kiedis. Let's say Anthony Kiedis okay. is 35.
Sure.
He can have any girl he wants from age 25 to 70. Pretty like not any girl, but like it's easy for him to get girls. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So what does it say that Rodney Bingenheimer, despite having near that level of charisma, if you will, or not charisma, that's not the right word, that level of social clout, that he still had to be a creep? You know what I mean? It's like Bill Cosby, another great example. Mm. Like Bill Cosby was super famous and super rich. And not that he could have any girl that he wanted, but he could have had a lot of women consensually. But instead, he decided to drug and rape them instead. So, and that just goes to show that he's truly a demented guy. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So what does it say about Rodney on the Rock here? I think it kind of says that he's truly a demented guy that despite the fact that he was a super famous DJ, instead of choosing to get girls in a, quote, ethical way, he still decided to be a creepo. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know what compelled him to do this. I do think that a lot of women would stay away from him because even just like pictures of him gives you the like all the lights are going
the
off.
Creep factor.
Yeah, like stay away from this man, you know, like if you're ever alone with him, just try to remove yourself from the situation as fast as possible kind of vibe. So I think that plays a part, just like people can sense like, hey, you're putting out some red flags here. Obviously not in all the cases, but I think that's a big thing. And I don't think that any of it was about like attraction or wanting a relationship or anything with him. I think everything was solely about power, and I think that's what he got off on, especially with girls who are extremely young and who like he probably felt he had like their future in his hands and they couldn't stop him. So I think that fueled a lot of his actions, which is disgusting and terrible. And yeah, that'd be my read of the situation. John, are you there? Hello. There are two Johns now. All right, one is connecting to the audio. Hello. Are you back?
Sorry, I cut out. At any rate.
Okay. Don't sexually assault people. Don't grope people. Always get consent. Always get enthusiastic consent. Consent is not taught properly in school, and it should be, because there are areas that can be tricky, and we all need to be educated in what consent is, what it means, and How to recognize red flags, how to and where to go for help when or if something bad does happen.
Well said. So Rodney's a creep, and
Yeah.
it's a real bummer story, man. I'll tell you, that LA scene was so gnarly between like Rodney
Oof.
and what's his name, Kim Fowley.
Yeah.
Man, oof.
So icky. So icky.
Well, we don't need to drag the conversation out. We can continue that some other time. But you gnarly scene, man. Let's see. Here's a cool story though. The Craig and the Creek, the Craig of the Creek movie is out now.
Yeah.
Jeff Rosenstock is the musical director. I don't know if he's the musical director or the composer for the show, but for the show, he writes a lot of the music, if not all the music. So they released the Craig of the Creek music movie today, or this week. And it's got some familiar faces in it. Of course, Rosenstock, Jeff, plays and sings some songs in it, but so does Mike Park, who wrote co-wrote a song with Jeff, as well as Brittany Luna of Catbite sings a song called "The Flood," and some other cool people too. So
Yeah.
it's just kind of neat that some people from our world are singing songs in animated films. That's pretty rad.
Pierce Jordan of Soul Glow's on a
Oh
song.
yeah, that's right.
Who, like, it seems so cool. I've seen just like snippets of the show, and the show looks really neat. So it's awesome to see like people within the punk sphere doing really cool things and creative things and making things that, again, are going to mean so much to so many people.
Yeah, I gotta say, man, Rosenstock's pretty cool, dude.
He
Like,
is.
but like he went from being a punker to being in actual Hollywood. And he, you know, of course, you know, in Hollywood you gotta, you know, play certain games and you know, function a certain way. But he did, you know, bring some of the punk people with him, and that's honestly very cool. That's very cool that he did that.
Yeah,
So
that's
yeah.
awesome.
Let's
We
see
love to
here.
see
Here's something that's boring. Social Distortion and Bad Religion are going on
it.
tour. It's a long tour, and Social Distortion is playing all of Mommy's Little Monster because they only release like one album every 15 years or whatever. And Mike Ness has been saying the new Social Distortion album is coming out like next year. He's been saying that for like the last 9 years, but I actually don't care because I really don't care about Social Distortion at all. So, anyways, they're oh here we go. They said that's right. Like 2 years ago, they said they've got two albums recorded already. Here we go. Yeah. 2 years ago, he said, oh, actually, a year ago, he said, we have plans to go to the studio in 2023 with 40 to 50 songs written. Well, I guess they didn't get recorded. Although he did have cancer, and I'm sorry to say, I'm sorry to hear that he had cancer, and I think he did
Yeah,
get over it. So that's good.
he did.
Listen, the punk news people were like, oh my God, it's the best tour ever. It's Bad Religion and Social Distortion doing all of Mommy Little Monster. And I fell asleep just thinking about this tour. Like, I think Social Distortion is the just such a boring band. I think Bad Religion is punk without any semblance of danger or risk whatsoever, which is why I think they're the most boring band in punk. Like, I really like it astounds me that Bad Religion is as big as they are when they're so painfully boring. But no one agrees. Everyone thinks they're great, and I'm like. Like I've seen Bad Religion live, and everyone's like, oh, they're doing the Gray Race or whatever. You know, they're doing that thing you used to see like religious videos where people like hold their hands in the air and close their
Oh my
eyes and like
gosh.
cry and sway to the music. You know, they're like, oh, Bad
Yes.
Religion, you know. And I'm like, this is the most boring, safe, gentle stuff I've ever heard in my entire life. And I just don't get either of these bands. I'm like, I just don't get why they're so popular when they sound so milquetoast to me. Em, are you excited to see this tour?
I am glad that Mike Ness of Social Distortion is now cancer-free. That is awesome, something to
I'll
celebrate.
co-sign that. I'll co-sign that.
I don't like Social Distortion. I have tried to listen to them and they do not click for me. I do not like them. I understand why people do, and I think that's great.
Why? I don't understand why. Why do people like Social Distortion then?
I think it's one of those things where it's like sometimes you want to hear,
Boring music.
yeah, no. I think it's they would be some people's first introduction to that style of music. So they'd be like, ooh, yes, I
Oh,
like
boring
this. It's
music.
new and fresh.
The introduction of boring music.
Probably. I think they're a little skeleton dude. Like, it looks cool, so they've drawn
Do you know who
people in with
designed
that.
that?
I do not
Do you know
know.
that the little skeleton dude was designed by Mackie Osborne, wife of Buzz Osborne, and she
Oh,
designed it
cool.
for well, hold on. She designed it
Oh,
for a
okay.
Christmas card, and Mike Ness got one and just photocopied it. And when she
Oh,
asked him about it, he's like, "Oh, we'll
rude.
pay you when we get some money," and she hasn't been paid yet.
That's incredibly rude. They should pay her. That sucks.
I actually tried to wind her up about it once when I interviewed her. I'm like, oh, you should do something. And like, she doesn't care. I think she's mildly annoyed, but not enough to do anything about it, which honestly I understand, you know?
Oh, for sure.
But still, man, I mean, he could have cut her a thousand. He could have cut her a 500, maybe a thou. You know, I mean, it's a pretty
Oh, of
famous logo.
course.
You know what I mean? You know?
And it looks cool. Like, it's a cool little dude. He has
See,
his little hat on, his little
I have
drink.
such problem separating it from how boring they are. It looks boring to me. Like, if it was another band, I probably think it was cool, but
You just take social distortion away from it, can you separate?
if I could, I would think it was a cool logo. Yes. Although,
Yeah.
honestly, it looks kind of Grateful Dead-ish to me, to tell you the truth. You know what I mean?
Oh, I
It's
didn't
like a
think of that.
skeleton. It's like a skeleton with a hat, like with a martini in his hand. That feels Grateful Dead-ish to me, you know?
Martinis are gross.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Grateful Dead suck.
Yeah, Grateful Dead's like the worst band ever. I've
They
tried
are
like
terrible.
I've literally tried probably seven times to like the Grateful Dead because A,
Same.
people that like them like love them, you know. There's so many live albums. So if you do like them, it's a sea of cool live albums. I've tried like seven times to like the Grateful Dead, and they're just so boring, and they're even more boring than
Oh,
Social
yeah.
Distortion. They are so boring. And I'm looking at the logo right now. It is so Grateful Dead. It looks like, I don't know if that's wine or a martini, but he's got a
I think
cigarette in
it's
his hand with
blood.
Tony. Oh, is it blood? Okay, well, fair enough. But I mean, like it looks like he's smoking a Duber. Like, this is as Grateful Dead as it gets, Amp. Like, this, it fits them because how boring they are. So, anyways, I think these bands are boring. I've never heard the Love Bombs. Are they good, Amp? Are the Love Bombs good?
Have not heard the Love Bombs. And I will say I don't mind Bad Religion. I like some of their stuff, not all of their stuff, but I like a good portion of their stuff. No Control is my favorite album.
Why would someone listen to Bad Religion when they can listen to the Circle Jerks? That's my question. Or Black Flag. That's my question. But
Well, like,
listen.
yeah. But No Control is more like short, fast punk songs.
Well, is it Circle Jerks short and fast?
Yeah, but like sometimes you wanna mix her up. I guess. I
Well,
don't know.
there you have it. That being said, I'm being a total party pooper here. And if I did like the audience for these two bands, it's a pretty close overlap. So like for
True.
me, this would be like Circle Jerks and Dead Kennedys. Well, certainly Dead Kennedys aren't a band anymore. Circle Jerks
Yeah.
and let me think of another fitting band from that era. Circle Jerks and the Dwarves. I'd be like, wow, you know. So if you like these bands, I'm happy for you. This actually, if you are into this kind of music, this is a very cool tour. I will give them that. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, 100%. Yeah. If like these are your bands, you are flipping. You're having a great time.
I won't be there though. But here's where I would go and have a great time if he was playing the West with East Coast, which he's not. Dervv Gordon of the Equals is going on a short West Coast tour backed by a band that I haven't heard before, but apparently people know it called So What. And what is the significance?
Yes.
We've got no comments here at Punk News at all, which is disgraceful in this article. And what is the significance of Dervv Gordon to punk rock?
I am blanking right now. Please inform me of
Shame
the.
on you, Em. Shame, shame, shame,
It's late and
shame.
I haven't slept in like 4 days.
Well, why not? Why aren't you sleeping?
Oh, I have really bad insomnia.
Well, you should get good sleep, Em. Do you drink caffeine at night? Is that your problem?
Nope. No, I haven't had. Caffeine makes me really anxious.
Well,
I don't
Em, you
drink
should
it
get some
very
good.
often.
You should, well, we'll end this episode soon so Em can get some sleep.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Dervv Gordon was in the Equals, Em. The Equals have the
Yes.
song, "I'm Running, Police on My Back. They will get me if I dare
Dang.
drop back. I've been
Yes.
running, and I can't fall back. Police will get me, police on my back. I've been
Oh,
running
yes.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Running Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. What have I done? What have I done? I love the Equals. If you haven't heard the Equals, people,
Yeah.
the Equals are an amazing, amazing late 60s garage rock band from England. They are very important because they very well may be the first rock group of black and white people in the same band, hence the name of the Equals. There is an
Oh.
absolutely amazing collection, and it's like 60 tracks, and like every single song is like an 8, 9, or 10 out of 10 total banger. You will not believe like how much amazing singles this band. Their albums aren't as good like a lot of these bands, but the singles are just incredible. The compilation that you want to get is the following. If I can find it, I have it, and I will find it. Oh, here it is. First Among Equals, the greatest hits on Ice Records. And you can buy it on Discogs for $13. Pretty reasonable. Baby
That's
Come
not bad.
Back. Black Skin, Blue Eyed Boys. I Get So Excited. Michael and His Slipper Tree. Hold Me Closer. Soul Brother Clifford. Of course, Rut Police On My Back. Like, just every single song by this band is like incredible. They're so good, and that's why they were actually a sensation in England. And that's why the Clash covered them. It was kind of like the Clash covering a track from yesteryears. And of course, and more, the Equals, who was the bass player and main songwriter for the Equals.
Did the bass player go on to play in another band?
No, he did a solo. He's a very famous, a pretty famous solo musician.
Lincoln Gordon.
No, Eddie Grant, and of course, who's Eddie Grant?
Eddie Grant. I'm looking it up. All Electric Avenue.
Electric Avenue, Eddie Grant.
Yeah.
And so and actually, if you get the recently re-released CD version of Joe Strummer live at Acton Town Hall, amazing live record. He does Police on My Back and gives a shout out to Eddie Grant, which is cool. So anyways, so Dervin Gordon is the
Cool.
singer of the Equals. Eddie Grant is the songwriter. I would absolutely love to see him do Equals tracks. Maybe he'll make it over. The problem is he probably won't make it over the West Coast because, as amazing and as important as the Equals are, the clubs they're playing are very small clubs. And it's cool that he's doing that. Like, he's playing Alex's Bar in Long Beach, which is like
Oh, okay.
200 people at best. And like, it's cool that he's doing it, but it's like, how can this be worth his while? And maybe it's not. Like, maybe he's just doing it for the fun of it. You know, I don't know. But at any rate, this would be an amazing. So if you live on the West Coast, you definitely have to go see this show. I mean, it's probably might be, you know, I don't know if it's going to be last time or not, but it's going to be freaking awesome. I would love to see this for sure.
Yeah, it'd be really cool.
And
Agreed.
tell us about 924 Gilman.
Yes, 924 Gilman. They are raising money to get new doors. So if right now they have one side door and they're going to, they already have the permits and they're just raising the funds to do all the construction work to expand it to two doors. Where that will increase the capacity because it'll be more fire safe, more people can get in and out, it'll, you know, all good stuff, all good stuff. So they've launched a Kickstarter for this, and if you donate a certain amount of money, you will receive a 4 to 5 inch piece of the wall.
Oh, that's
So
kind of, I didn't realize, I thought it would be like a 1 inch by 1 inch. That's kind of cool that it's that big.
yeah, it's like it's a pretty good chunk. And it they posted a picture of how the door frame looks on Instagram, and there's all these stickers and like all this kind of stuff, and it looks really, really cool. So you can own a piece of like the old section of Gilman and help usher in a new era where they can expand for it's over 300, I believe, like right now it's 222, and with the if when the doors are replaced, it'll be between 500 and 550 people, which is pretty cool. And again, you get a really nifty like piece of history. Like how many like those things don't deteriorate really too much. You know, you have a piece of a wall, you have a piece of a building, you have a piece of history. Like that's pretty cool. It'll be there pretty much forever. And you might get a really cool sticker on it. Are you going to get a chunk of wall, John, from Gilman?
Probably not. I when I live in the Bay Area, I went to 924 Gilman a whole lot of times, and I saw some amazing shows there. I saw Jesse Michael solo. I
Oh,
saw the
nice.
Ceremony record release show for Rodent Park, which was crazy good with Painted Black opening. I've seen the Dwarves there. I've seen Gnarboots headline a crazy show there. I've seen let me think who else I've seen there. I've seen a bunch of no-name band there too, but I've also seen I saw Nightbirds play a show, the headlining show there. I saw, let's see, who else have I seen there? I saw Lars Fredriksson's band, not Oxy's Midnight Runners. What's Lars' other band?
Was that the one where he did that like Vikings thing or whatever?
No, that's Lars Fredriksson, the bassist. He's got another band too,
Oh,
the
I'm
Oi
not
band.
sure.
Well, I saw that band there. So yeah, I've seen a lot. Oh, I saw Off there, which we when Off was first
Nice.
starting. I mean, it was kind of like a promo thing. Like obviously Off could have played something bigger, but they played that, just, and it was
Yeah.
so cool. So yeah, so Gilman is very cool. But the thing with Gilman is it's till this day it's very wrapped up in Bay Area scene politicking, sociopoliticking, in that only certain bands can play there, and they can determine if a band is or is not punk if they can play there. And they turn away a lot of medium and bigger acts that could bring people there and make a lot of money for the club and the band. And instead, I mean, honestly, over the past like 5 years, like it's very rare for them to have like really a show that people like really care about, and it's almost like all like no name local bands,
Oh, okay.
which. It's cool that they give bands that couldn't play show otherwise, a place to play, but I think they could do a lot better job of balancing it with bands that people care about, and that way they wouldn't have to beg for them. Green Day gave them a whole bunch of money one time. Somebody else, even though they won't like Green Day. And they, oh, actually, no, Green Day gave them a whole bunch of money twice. Green Day bought their new PA system in like late 90s, early 2000s, and then Green Day did a one-off show there, like. Green Day's not allowed to play 924 Gilman because they're signed to a major label. But then when 924 Gilman realized they needed money bad, they let Green Day play there anyways. It's like, which I'm all
Yeah.
for letting Green Day play there. It just they seem, it's very much what I would say, symbolic gestures that don't have any actual pragmatic effect towards the scene or what they're trying to achieve. And I feel that really bogs it down a whole lot. And also,
Sure.
I feel like it could be more welcoming. If you it, like when I used to go there, I went there for a period of about 8 years. When I used to go there, like if you didn't look punk, they were kind of dicks to you at the door. It's like I thought to me, punk should not have a uniform, but kind of
Yeah.
think punk should have a uniform, particularly a Bay Area type uniform. And it sounds like I'm negative towards 924 Gilman. I'm not. I think 924 Gilman is a great thing, and I think it's cool to have an all ages venue without alcohol. And you can always nitpick anything. And also, they were tied into Maximum Rock and Roll, and I think Maximum Rock and Roll is pretty lame these days, actually, pretty real lame. And Max Rock and Roll always had some kind of severe issues. Oh, actually, now I'm looking. Well, they had a tsunami show there. Actually, that sold out. So maybe
Oh,
I'm totally wrong.
nice.
Actually, no. But actually, I'm looking at the rest of the line. Like all these bands that like no one's ever heard of, which is cool. But you gotta kind of gotta balance. Like if there's a great quote by Michael Rose of Black Uhuru. How can you fight the strong if you don't have money? And it's like you have to have power to fight power. And so if
Yeah.
you just say we don't care about money, and then when you need money you have to beg for it, is that really the right course of action? So I really feel that they could have a lot of other cool shows there that they're too punk for, and so that then they have to depend on donations. I mean, like, what is this, $10,000? $10,000 should not be a big deal for
20.
a venue. 20,000. That should not be a big deal for a club as long running as and as historic as Gilman. save the universe. So the answer is, I hope they get their money. I hope Gilman continues to do what they do. I don't think I'd just donate money to them, but I would pay money to see a cool show there. How's that for an answer, Em?
That is a good answer. But would you get a wall chunk?
Not for $100. Is it
I think
$100?
it's $100, yeah.
I'd pay like, I don't know if I'd pay anything. I mean, would I? Like, in a way, it is kind of, I mean, I actually like the idea. It is cool to have like a literal piece of Gilpin history. That's
Yeah.
kind of neat. That is kind of neat. I don't know if I'd pay $100 for it though. You know, if I was at a store and I could buy it, I'm trying to think what I would pay for it. See, on one hand, it's a cool piece of history, but on the other hand, it's just a piece of garbage. You know what I mean? So I don't know, Em. I really don't know. Listener, would you buy a piece of the Gilman Street Wall? You can email us at johng@punk. We're doing email again, people. johng@punknews.org. Em, do you want to give your email or you don't want to give your email?
Sure. If you want to send me podcast comments, questions, fun facts about octopi, m@punknews.org.
And so send us an email and we might read it on air. And so, yeah. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to cover this week? Anything else the listeners need to know about?
There is some cool Bikini Kill stuff going on. Kathleen Hanna is going to be releasing a new book, which I think we talked about on the podcast like quite a while
I don't think
ago.
so. You can if you
Did
want
we
to. I
not
don't think we
talk
did.
about
I
it?
don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, she's releasing a new book called Rebel Girl, My Life as a Feminist Punk, and I am so excited for this book. I cannot wait. I want to read it so bad. Because I think it's going to be really cool. And I mean, like, when people write books, the majority of them are really, really good. And you always learn something new, and you always have like a new appreciation or a new respect, or at least you see the person in a slightly different light, which is pretty cool. So I'm very excited for her book. But anyway, she's going on a US book tour in May. So the book comes out in May on the 14th, and then she's doing a huge, or not a huge run, but like a pretty substantial run of dates around the US for that. And the one on May 22nd, which is taking place in real life in Seattle, you can also buy like live stream tickets for that. So I'm thinking about doing that. I'm not sure, but I'd like to. Like, it'd be better to be there in person, but I'm not gonna be able to make any of the US shows. But that's pretty cool.
What's the closest US show to you?
Let me see. It would probably be Brooklyn, New York.
That's like 8 hours, right? Can we like try to figure that out once?
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, it's quite a while, and then it's like it costs a lot. And
Em, you got to
it
move to the
just
city.
sucks.
You got to move to the city, Em.
I know. I need the funds, you know. Hey, I'll start a Kickstarter and then I'll sell chunks of my notes.
I'll do that.
Anyone?
I'll buy that. I'll buy that. If that gets the end of the city, I'll do it.
If anyone wants to see my little podcast drawings, I have a frog, a duck wearing a hat, like a snail, lots of cool shit. but yeah, I love to do that. I love to travel more to shows and kind of get out and experience a little bit more. Like I would like to get out to punk rock bowling and, you know, a lot of stuff. So hopefully, next year there'll be a little bit more opportunities to do more stuff that way. But yeah, and Bikini Kill are going on tour the UK, Europe, Mexico, South America. They're playing a really cool benefit show for the Palestine Children's Relief Fund in January, and that is in the US. That's going to be a really great show. All the money goes there. They have a guest speaker, Selma Al Azwad, and the Ghost Ease are playing support. So that's also really, really rad. Your money goes to a great cause, and you get to see some really rad bands. So if you're around Washington, you should go see that. But yeah. See, this is why I need to win the lottery. That's what I'm A huge lottery win.
All right, well, let's all hope we all win the lottery. And then, so yeah. So, we'll see you next week.